to follow him is to go through the gate. He is the door that we go through. And it's sometimes described as the narrow way. That when we turn to him in repentance, we turn to him, we go through the gate into life. But baptism, if you like, is like the gate clanging shut behind us once we've gone through. There's something about this, what we're going to do today, it's a lot more than just getting wet. It's not a religious ceremony that we just do because we've always done it as a church. It's a biblical truth in the Word of God that is life-changing in its symbolism, and it's life-changing in as an event in itself. And so I'm going to talk a bit about baptism this morning. It's a very powerful thing. And it seals something in our lives as we walk in obedience to Jesus. You know, every time we walk in obedience to God's word, it pleases the Father, and we honor the Son, and we grow more by the power of the Holy Spirit to become more like who Jesus is. And there's an incredible power in obedience. And so, yeah, today as Sean and Denise take this step, they're declaring that their faith in Jesus as their Savior, as the one who's given his life for them, and also Jesus Christ. Christ means Lord, that he is my Lord. They're handing over the keys, if you like, afresh today and saying, Jesus, I want you to be Lord of my life. I'm giving you control of my life. I want you to take the front seat and I'll take the back seat. I want to follow you where you lead, and you take me into the future that you have for me. So I want to look a little bit at the who, the when, the how, and the why of baptism, okay? Just for a few moments. And so we're going to kick off with the who of baptism. And what if you like, are the requirements for somebody to be baptized? So let's go to Mark chapter 16. Mark chapter 16. And we're going to read verses 15 and 16. Mark chapter 16, verses 15 and 16. And these are something of Jesus' final words to his disciples. He's risen from the dead. He's appeared to over 500 people over a period of 40 days. To a whole range of people in a whole range of circumstances that have eyewitness accounts, he is risen. There is irrefutable kind of evidence that Christ rose from the dead. And after he rose from the dead, he said to his disciples, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every person, every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. See, Jesus came into the world not to condemn the world, but by through him the world might be saved. And because of our sin that we'd inherited from Adam, who was the original sinner, if you like, in the garden, and come through the whole human race, we are born in a sinful condition. God so loved the world that he sent Jesus Christ to be the sacrifice for our sins, so that actually we can turn to him and be saved. And so Jesus says to his disciples, you have believed on me, you've received my life, now go and share this good news of salvation with every person. He who believes will be saved. But then he says, baptism is a key part of the process of actually following me. He who believes and is baptized. So in order to be baptized, you first of all have to believe in Jesus Christ. And the other ingredient is a word called repentance. Turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 and verse 38. We'll go from verse 38. This is on the day of Pentecost now, a few days later after Jesus had spoken those words. And before the disciples went out to preach the good news of Christ into their communities, he said to them, wait in Jerusalem until you've received the power of the Holy Spirit, because he will give you power to be witnesses to this gospel, to me, to declare who I am. And so on that day, the Spirit comes, Peter stands up and preaches an amazing message under the power of the Holy Spirit, and the crowds are convicted in their hearts by his message, because he says in verse 36, this Jesus, whom you crucified, has become both Lord and Christ. You see, they thought he was just a man. Peter's saying, no, he's not just a man. He's not just a prophet. He is God. He's actually a king. He's become Lord and Christ. He's risen from the dead. And he's ascended on high. How do we know that? He's saying, we saw him go. And he's poured out, because he's ascended on high at the right hand of the Father, he's poured out, Peter says, what you now see and hear. They've seen the demonstration of the Holy Spirit's power on these disciples, these 120 people. And they'd heard the power of God like a mighty rushing wind in that place. And they were drawn to it. And so Peter says, he's now Lord and Christ, who you crucified. Verse 37 says, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Now, something of that has happened in Sean and Denise's life over a process of time. Bible calls it conviction. It's happened in my life. It still happens in my life. The Holy Spirit convicts me of things in my life. It's a wonderful thing. It can be a painful thing when we're confronted with our sin. But it's a wonderful thing because it's a freeing thing. It's a bit like if you discover that you've got cancer, that's a bit of a shock. But when you discover that somebody's able to treat you and remove that cancer so you have life, that's such a relief. And so conviction can be like that. We have a conviction of our sin, of our wrongdoing before a holy God. But then that is actually the trigger. That's the way into seeing the good news of Jesus as my Savior, who's come actually to set me free from my problem. And so that's what's happening here. They're convicted, and they say to the apostles, what shall we do? And Peter says in verse 38, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission or the forgiveness of sins. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call. Don't you love the Bible? I love the Bible. I love the word A-double-L, how often it comes up. You see, the gospel, friends, is for everybody seated here this morning. It's for all in Edinburgh. That's why we're here. We're here because we experience the salvation of Jesus and we want to share it with others. Yeah? It's for you this morning. It's for your children. It's for your children's children. But it doesn't come by osmosis. Yeah? Jenny and Lorna, who are our two missiles, you know? That's our surname, Miles. Okay. They're our two missiles, yeah? They didn't become Christians because Lynn and I are Christians. They didn't come into a relationship with Jesus automatically when they were born into our home because, you know, they're now in a Christian family, you know. It doesn't work like that, you know. If a mouse is born in McDonald's, it doesn't make it a burger. Okay. Good job we didn't say a rat. But friends, this is the truth, that Jenny and Lorna had to come to a place where they saw their sinful condition in the light of a holy God for themselves. We didn't force it upon them. We had the privilege of walking with the Lord when they came into this world. And so that was a huge privilege for them to be come into a family like that where God had come. Not because it was Lynn and I, but because God was there. And yeah, they've come to a personal relationship for themselves. They've been baptized by their own personal choice. And that's what Sean and Denise are doing today. You know, Denise is not doing it because her mother said, you must get baptized, you know. And Sean's not doing it because his wife said, you know, you better do this thing, you know. No, they each one's got to come to a personal relationship with God themselves. Feel the weight of that conviction and cry out, what must I do to be saved? And when they and come into that relationship, they say, I want to be obedient to Jesus and be baptized. So repentance and faith are the two, believing on Christ, are the two preconditions for somebody to be baptized in water. Let me just let's go to Acts chapter 8. Acts chapter 8 quickly. And verse 12. Philip is preaching in a place called Samaria. I love that name, Samaria. Some area. God's called us to preach in some area, any area. And Acts 8 and verse 12 says, when they believed Philip as he preached the things concerning the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ. That's what we've got to preach. It says both men and women were baptized. It's for all. When they believed, they were baptized. Okay. Go a bit further down. Philip is taken to a desert road. He meets an Ethiopian man on the desert road who's actually a man of influence. He's come up to Jerusalem for some time. He's a man who's responsible for the finances of the government in Ethiopia. Okay. He's on his way back to Ethiopia. God sends Philip to meet this man on a desert road. And he sees him riding a chariot and he's reading a book. He's actually reading the scriptures. But he doesn't understand what he is reading. And so verse 34, the eunuch sees Philip and says to him, who does the prophet speak about when he talks about, is he talking about himself or some other man? Then Philip opened his mouth and beginning at this scripture. This is a good challenge for us here this morning. How well do we know the scripture when somebody asks us a question at work that we can come to a scripture and unpack it and open it up to a person and share Jesus with them? It says, beginning at this scripture, he preached Jesus to him. See, if you want to know what this Bible is about from Genesis to Revelation, it's a five-letter word, J-E-S-U-S. He preached Jesus to him. It's all about Jesus. And as they went down the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, see, here is water. What hinders me from being baptized? Then Philip said, if you believe, notice this, with all your heart. It's not, see, belief in God is not just simply a belief in facts about God. It's not just simply, oh, I believe there's a God. No, no. It's about a personal relationship, a heart relationship, where I've encountered Jesus Christ for myself. It's a faith that has brought about a revolution, a change, because it's a relationship with Jesus. If you believe with all your heart, you may. And he answered and said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. This guy believed and he knew that Jesus, who Jesus was. There was a relationship that God was beginning in this man's heart. So he commanded the chariot to stand still. And both Philip and the eunuch went down into the water. And he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord caught Philip away. And so to be baptized, we need to understand what the gospel is. And we need to have an appreciation of what the gospel is. We need to know what our condition is. Turn from our sin, turn to God, put our faith in Christ, and then we are ready to be baptized. We come into a relationship with Christ, and out of that we are baptized. It's a personal decision. So baptism is for believers, not babies. There's many churches that, and I grew up in a church actually where I was sprinkled as a baby. But it's not biblical. It's not in the Bible. And we seek to do what is in God's word, the scriptures. And you can read it from front to back to front, if you're able to do that. And you will not find one scripture where it talks about sprinkling babies. Not one. And the New Testament is clear. Baptism is for those who've put their personal faith in Jesus Christ. And when are we to be baptized? The testimony in the book of Acts is, do it as soon as possible after you are saved. As soon as possible after you've come into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Because it's an act of, if you like, initiation. It's saying, I'm part of a new family. I'm part of a new army. I've changed sides. I was in darkness, running life my own way, under a ruler called Satan. But now, because of what Jesus Christ has done in my life, I have changed sides. And now under a new king, his name is Jesus. That's what baptism speaks about. I'm part of a new family. I'm under a new commander. You know, there's a sign up, under new management. Yeah. And things are going to be different from now on because of what Jesus has done in my life. And so, baptism is a command. It's not an optional extra. It's not something that we can choose, actually. We can choose, because God gives us freedom to choose. But actually, it's not one of those kind of luxury things that you do if you want to in the Christian life. Baptism is something that Jesus commands us to do because he wants to launch us into victory in our walk with him. Thirdly, how are we to be baptized? We are to be baptized. Baptism is by total immersion. Okay, it's not just sprinkling a bit of water on a person's head. And I'll talk about the symbolism of that just now. But it's a total, it symbolizes, amongst many other things, a total giving of ourselves to Jesus Christ. Yeah. That every part of me is going to get wet. It's symbolic of the fact that I give my total personality, mind, heart, body, to Jesus Christ. I go in and I come out. And that speaks of a transition into newness of life. So there's a totality to it, and there's a transition to it. I give myself totally, and I'm transitioning into a new life with Jesus Christ. So why is baptism so important and so powerful? Just want to quickly give you five little things, okay? Well, they're big things, but I'm going to give you two of them quickly. The first one is this. It is a public declaration of my faith in Christ. Baptism is today where Denise and Sean kind of nail their colours to the mast. Yeah, in front of friends, family, the church, the community, in front of God, Father, Son, Holy Spirit, and in front of the devil. It's where they nail their colours to the mast, that I am a believer in Christ, Jesus is Lord of my life, and it's a public declaration. Baptism is always a great opportunity to testify of what Jesus has done in my life and to see other people responding to the gospel at the same time. Romans 10 and verses 9 and 10 says this. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And what that confession, that declaration, part of that is baptism. It's a declaration. Yeah, I'm saved. And it's a declaration to family, to friends that, yeah, Jesus has found me, and I'm following him. And then verse 13 says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." And if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior and Lord this morning, as you hear the preaching of the gospel this morning, as you see what God is doing in this place today, and as you hear the testimony of Denise and Sean, you too can call on the name of the Lord this morning and be saved. That's the power of what we're doing today. Because Jesus wants to save every single person here this morning and bring us into life that is fruitful, purposeful, and abundant. The second reason why baptism is so important is found in Matthew 28. If you've got your Bibles, it's coming up on the screen. But Matthew 28, verses 18 to 20, well-known verses. I'm just going to read verse 19. Jesus said, Go therefore and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. There's the command. It's a command to the disciples to go, but there's also a command for the people who are going to hear their message to respond in that way. Because later down he says, teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. Yeah? So the people who are hearing the gospel need to respond to that same command. And so what is Jesus saying there? That baptism is an act of obedience. And it's the first significant step of discipleship or following after Christ that we will make as believers. You can't be a disciple of Jesus Christ if you don't get baptized. I'm not so sure I can read of any unbaptized believers in the New Testament. Yeah? There isn't such a person. Baptism was the first step after believing in Christ. And it's the step where we burn our bridges to our past. And we say we're following Jesus into our future. Friends, we've all got baggage from the past. We've all broken God's laws. We've all lied. We've all stolen something, generally. We've all blasphemed, most of us. Our hearts need to be washed clean in the blood of Christ. And he does that by faith when we put our faith in him. Isn't that wonderful? It's the greatest day any person can know in their lives. When they realize, I had a religious upbringing. I went to church twice on a Sunday, but I was a sinner going to hell and I didn't know it. I thought I was good. I thought I was okay. I didn't do any harm to anybody. I helped grannies across the road. I kind of thought I was kind of goody two shoes. Until my brother got saved. Yeah. And we were all religious in our family, mum and dad particularly. My brother went away to university. He came into a relationship with God through Christ, through mixing with some friends who took him to church. He had an encounter with Jesus, got saved, put his faith in Christ. He came back home, and we thought, what's happened to him? I was in my mid-teens at that stage. And I started to go with him to a young people's group, and I realized there was something different out there from what I'd experienced in church for 15 years. And over a process of time, as I started to read the Bible, I started to pray, but over a process of time, God convicted me of my sin and my lost condition, that I was dead without him. And one evening, I got down on my knees in my bedroom, 29th of June, 1980, just the other day. And I said, God, I realize I'm a sinner. I realize I'm going to hell. But I thank you that Jesus Christ has come to give his life for me. I'm hungry for you. I want your power in my life. I want to go full on for you. I want to honor you in all that I do. I repent of my sin. I give my life to you. Come and fill me with your Holy Spirit. And in that time, as I I'd been hungering for God for a number of months. That didn't just happen. In fact, maybe even years, but a number of months. I came to that moment, and I met with God in a way that I hadn't met with God before in that moment in time. And the love of God just filled that room, and the peace of God came into my heart, and I knew that what I'd asked for, I'd received in terms of the filling of the Holy Spirit. 3 months later, I was baptized in water. I've drifted a bit off the topic there. But discipleship begins by following Jesus. And following Jesus begins by being baptized. You see, Jesus said, if any man wants to come after me, let him deny himself. Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. And that is a watery grave. In that, that's the symbolism of what we're going to come to now. That's what it is. And baptism is part of that discipleship thing. I'm going to deny myself. I'm going to turn my back on my past. I'm going to follow Jesus full on for the rest of my life. So the third reason why baptism is so important is this: it's an outward expression of an inward reality. Romans chapter 6 and verses 3 and 4. Key verses. It says, therefore, we were buried with Jesus through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. That's what it's about today. Newness of life. I missed out verse 3, didn't I? Do you not know that as many of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? And then he talks about resurrection. The good news today is that we're not going to keep the Denise and Sean under the water. They're going to come up again. But the symbolism, friends, is this, that our old man, our old life, when I got baptized, the old Malcolm was put to death. That's the symbolism. Now, actually, in reality, when I'm born again, when I went down on my knees and said, Lord, come into my life, take away my sin, I want to follow you full on, fill me with your Spirit. At that moment, the old man was put to death. And I rose into newness of life. Baptism symbolizes what took place in my heart at new birth. That's what it does. It's an incredibly powerful. It's a testimony for yourself before God and before the devil. That this is a funeral celebration today. My old life is gone. And it's also a resurrection celebration. I'm walking into newness of life. You know, I was chatting with both Denise and Sean, Lynn and I have been chatting with them over the last couple of weeks. And for both of them, they've said to us, I'm closing the door on my past. And I'm walking into a new future with Jesus Christ. Yeah? And that's what it's about. We had a young girl, 16-year-old, who got baptized here. Lovely Scottish girl, got saved a few years ago, and we baptized her in the sea at Arbroath, at our church camp. And when I asked her why she wants to be baptized, she says, I want to seal the deal with Jesus. I thought, that is so biblical and so wonderful. I want to seal the deal. You see, the deal has been done, friends, by Jesus Christ on the cross. The deal has been signed in his blood, and he says, it is finished. And when we agree to that, when we agree and say, I believe that, that's what we're doing, we agree with that, we receive salvation, it is done in us too. And baptism is just saying, I'm declaring it is done in me. I'm done with my old life, and I'm going into a new life, full on. I remember a drama student who was a friend of mine at university, and he invited me to go to his baptism. It was at another church in Loughborough, so I went along in the afternoon. And he stood up and he said, before he got baptized, he said, "When I was a baby, I was sprinkled because my parents wanted me to be sprinkled. When I was a teenager, I was confirmed because the church wanted me to be confirmed." He said, "But now, as a 23-year-old or whatever he was, I'm getting baptized because Jesus wants me to get baptized and I want to get baptized." And I thought, that's wonderful, isn't it? Just very simple. But it's like conviction. It's a done deal. I want to move forward into what Jesus has for me. Let me wrap this up. And let me tell you a story. But before I tell you a story, I want to read Exodus 14 and verse 30. The biblical story I want to tell you is this. God brought the Israelites out of Egypt. They were saved from God's judgment by the blood of the Lamb that they had to put on their doorposts. They had to apply it. You see, Jesus has shed his blood for us, but it's no good, my friend, for you unless you take it for yourself and apply it to your life and say, "I believe it." If you don't, you'll stay under God's judgment. But they applied it to their lives and they were saved from God's judgment. That's when they were saved. God brought them out. And you remember the story? As they've been in Egypt for 400 years, God brought them out of slavery. It's an incredible picture. God brings us out of slavery to sin and slavery to Pharaoh. He brought them out, but Pharaoh's heart was hardened and he went after them. Yeah? With all his chariots, the most powerful man on the planet at that time goes after these people who've been slaves for 400 years, but whom God has set free. And they come to a Red Sea, and there's a sea in front of them, and they've got the devil behind them, the Pharaoh. You know, that's where that phrase comes from. You know, you've got the deep blue sea in front of you and the devil behind you. And God opens up a way through the waters. And it says in Exodus chapter 14 and verse 30, God opens up a way for them to go through, and then he closes the waters and he kills all their enemies. It's a picture of baptism. That's what it's a baptism where the enemy is dealt with once and for all. And they walk out free. It says in Exodus 14, verse 30, "So the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead on the seashore. Then Israel saw the great work which the Lord had done in Egypt. So the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses." Just turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's coming up on the screen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verses 1 and 2. I'm going to finish off with this. This is an incredible scripture. And this is for all of us this morning, friends. Because every time we read about water baptism in the New Testament, we see that water baptism and Holy Spirit baptism are coupled together. They go together. They're linked together. And referring to this account in Exodus, Paul says, "Moreover, brethren, I do not want you to be unaware that all our fathers," he's talking about the people of Israel, "were under the cloud and all passed through the sea." So there was a cloud above them, which represented the presence of God, and they passed through the sea. All were, what does it say? All were? All were baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea. What does that mean? There's a picture there that they were baptized into Moses as they followed Moses, as they all followed Moses through. There was a baptism, not just in water, but it was a baptism of the cloud. It's symbolic of two things for us. As we follow Christ, our Savior and Lord, out of Egypt, out of the world, out of that value system, as we follow him in water baptism, there is also a spiritual baptism, a spirit baptism in the cloud for us to experience. And as we follow him through that, there is a freedom from our enemies. And we are launched into a life of victory with Jesus Christ. God wants all believers to experience both baptisms, water and Holy Spirit. We need both, friends, to walk in victory. And because we need to continually walk in fellowship with the Holy Spirit, as has been highlighted already this morning. So for Sean and Denise this morning, as they get baptized, they're laying things down. They're not looking back, but they're looking forward. And they're moving into a new adventure with Jesus Christ. Let's just pray quickly, and then I'm just going to ask them to come forward. And then we're going to do the baptisms.
So I guess today been quite a big day for me. Been looking forward to it the whole week. It's just want to quickly give you a bit of things of my past and, you know, where I've been, where I'm at. A couple of years ago, I know time flies, I'm nearly 40, but a couple of years ago I must have been around 15, 16 years old. And I was chatting to Malcolm yesterday, you know, we were just going through individual occurrences or things that I've just had to step back and go, wow, you know, why did that happen? Or, you know, what was the reason for it? And in saying that, you know, I think, you know, the Holy Spirit was within me years and years ago, but I didn't want to, not that I didn't want to, it's just that I never pursued it. And obviously I've missed out on, you know, a lot since then. And then obviously meeting Tam, you know, I was baptized in a church, probably 10, 15 years ago, maybe. And time went past and, you know, we kept going to church and, you know, I just felt over the last probably 2-3 months that, I'm assuming and guessing it's just my spirit in me was just saying, it's time, you know, and something, I thought my head was right, I thought my heart was right, and, you know, not that there's ever a bad time to be baptized, but I just think, you know, now is the, it's my time, and, you know, I can just feel that this, I think my spirit's brewing up inside me, and it's just giving me that encouragement, and it's going, you know, it's time to get rid of that dead wood, and it's time to leave all the bad and the horrible things behind, and it's just time to go forward, start a new life, start afresh, start anew, and, you know, just get more involved and encouraged. I think there's just been a few things that have been stirred up inside me and a few things that have hit home, you know, just being with you guys, and I've just been really encouraged to see everyone, you know, where they are in a place with God, and I want that too, you know, and it's something that I believe, you know, I'll cherish, you know, not only now but for the rest of my life in eternity too, and I just think it's my time, and you know, I want to start that new journey, you know, with all of you guys, and with God, so. Yeah, I'm excited about today.
Listening to what Sean has said actually is almost exactly how I feel. A lot of things I've written down is the mirror image of that. I've had my share of ups and downs in my life, as much as anyone. The difference is that I've been struggling through on my own, falling deeper and deeper into a pot of gloom. And I've got sick and tired of that now. Mm. And in the last 6 months of coming into this amazing place, meeting all of you amazing people, I've realized that there's been something missing. Mm. And that's, it to me is not having faith in the Lord and that He will provide. Sorry, I think this is more nerves. I've started this journey of getting to know the Lord, our Father, and with the help of all my new wonderful friends here, and with the help of the Lord, I'm excited for what this new path will bring. And I wrote down a few chapters. Malcolm's said them all already this morning. Romans 10, 9 and 10. If you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. Luke 11, 9 and 10. And I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find it. Knock and it will be opened for you. For everyone who asks receives, and who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. Mm. And the last one, Acts 2:38. Then Peter said to them, repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Mm. And I'm also very excited for today. Mm. Thank you.
We're going to go to the baptism, or the pond, as Reg calls it. And let's just gather around, and celebrate.